Scripture lesson.
Good morning. This morning's scripture lesson comes from Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
This morning we are going to think about heaven. I'm sure some of you are very familiar with the topic and others are curious. Did you know that there are two kinds of heaven? Heaven here and now, and heaven that is to come. You could actually, you don't have to die to know, to experience what heaven is like. Heaven starts right now in your heart, where God is king. Then you could have the foretaste of heaven. However, I'm going to restrict and focus my attention on the second type of heaven, heaven that is to come. Everyone loves it, as far as I can tell. Everyone wants to be in that heaven as well. And here's the reality. We do not think about heaven enough. We don't talk about it enough, and we don't sometimes take it seriously. You know, most casual way we say, well, I'll be in heaven when I die. Neither do we hear a sermon often enough on heaven that is to come. I still vividly remember in my previous congregation in Monmouth County, a lifelong member of Methodist Church in her 80s, her name was Betty, Sunday school superintendent for 40 years. You think, oh, I've been serving this so long. Wait until you see her. 40 years as Sunday school superintendent. Anyway, once I preached on this topic of heaven that is to come, and she came back to me after the service and says, Pastor Choi, I'll let you know. I never heard a sermon on heaven until I heard you preaching today. I was shocked. Really? You never heard of a sermon on heaven. Well, I just want to make sure. So I looked at my own sermon records. When was the last time that I preached on this topic of heaven that is to come? It has been 3 years. Would you believe it? In 2015, I preached once on this topic of heaven that is to come. I'm almost ashamed to find that, because I preach about Father's Day once a year, Mother's Day once a year, all others, but heaven once every 3 years. And I wasn't proud of what I've done. Anyway, believe it or not, there are some pastors and preachers treat this topic of heaven or afterlife like a myth. Does it shock you? True story, again, why all these bad things happened in my previous congregation, I don't know. When I went there, a member came to me. She just came back to church after she realized that they have a new minister, and she came back after, you know, just years of absence in the church. And she came to me and said, Pastor Choi, when my husband died at the funeral service, the pastor of this congregation, how many years? She said something about death. And her point of this eulogy, the homily, was that we carry the wonderful memories, good old memories in our hearts of our loved ones. When it comes down to afterlife and heaven, the pastor said, I don't know. Nobody knows. Science cannot prove it, therefore nobody knows. And the wife, bereaving wife, was so shocked. She wanted to hear some kind of words of comfort about heaven and afterlife, and she didn't hear it from the pastor, and that kept her from coming to church for years. Consequently, what happens is that some of us sitting in the pews are unsure, what is heaven like? So much so that we treat it like Steve Jobs did. I read his biography, about like 500-page long book after he passed on. Steve Jobs considered afterlife is like 50-50. I'm just quoting exactly the word that he used, 50-50 chance. It's like a switch, he said. Off, on, off, on. Nobody knows. I'll find out. That's what he said. Somehow we hope that we will be in heaven if there is one. I'm not saying about everyone, but some people think that way. Now this morning, before I get into my sermon, I encourage you to set aside all of your preconceptions about heaven. Set aside all your personal preferences and wishes. Okay? And let's incline our ears to what God's Word, the Bible, actually says about heaven that is to come. And you're about to hear a summary of the biblical accounts, not an exhaustive, you know, just list, but it covers most of it. Okay? It is my duty to present this biblical accounts of heaven, and it is your responsibility to pay attention to and keep them in your heart and mind. Let's begin with the definition. What is heaven? That is to come, as I said. The Oxford Dictionary defines, I quote, heaven is home of God and the saints. Whoever has come up with this definition, I believe he or she has done a great job. Pretty accurate, close to the biblical definition. However, I'd like to add one more word to this definition. That word is eternal. Heaven is the eternal home of God and the eternal home of the saints in Christ. Now, those folks with the Catholic background think that saints is like far superior to us, far holier than we are, and so forth. No. Saints, the definition in the Bible is you. You said, me, saint? No, I am not that good. No. Don't just debase yourself. I'd rather take that definition, you know, in the Bible. Who are the saints? Saints are the ones who have faith in Jesus Christ. Does this surprise you? Not the saints who did wonderful things that, you know, they got voted by the Catholic Church and then they become one of the saints. No. Saints are you. Okay. The home of God and the saints in Christ. Heaven is the final destination that God has prepared for us. Remember Jesus when he said to his disciples, when I go there and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you back with me. Okay? That's our final destination. God is the architect and the builder of heaven. Oh, by the way, I'm just repeating what the scripture says, okay? If you want to know all these references, please pick up my sermon copy at the end of the service. It'll tell you all the places that you could look up to. God is the architect. He designed it. And he built it, the heaven, for you and me. It is the kingdom where our Heavenly Father is the king. You know, there was a missionary to China, and he was talking and teaching the children of China about 100 years ago. One of the children raised his hand and said, Pastor, what is the kingdom of God? Very profound theological question, isn't it? Kingdom of God. And of course, the missionary could not use the theological terms, you know, to explain. So this is what he says. Child, kingdom, you know what kingdom is. China at the time was still, you know, under empire. And you know the king. And yes, child says, kingdom of God is where God is king. Very simple. In which, in heaven, we, his children, are citizens. I know you are citizens of the United States of America. I became a naturalized citizen in the year 2000 as well. But my royalty and my allegiance is not to this United States of America. Yes, temporarily it is, but my eternal loyalty and allegiance to the kingdom of God we call heaven, where you and I will reign together with Christ for eternity. Now, some of us have no just understanding, what is eternity? I know it's forever and ever and ever. You know, I was one of them. I just have no understanding what eternity is all about until I read someone describing what eternity looks like. Okay? Imagine a huge ball in the size of the earth we are living in. Huge. And every million years, a bird flying in, oh, by the way, the huge ball made of steel, okay? Every million years, bird flying in and peck once and goes away. Another million years later, came back and peck it until the ball disappears. That's the concept close to the time of eternity. Of course, in heaven, we'll also have angels with us too. The second question, who enters heaven? Don't say that everyone. I know you want to be very nice and kind to everyone. I want everyone to be. That's a good thing. That's a right statement. However, you cannot say that everyone will be in heaven. I am not exclusive, okay? I'm just repeating what I read and studied in the scriptures. Who enters heaven? The scripture says that only those who are born again. Now, they call it this year the midterm election season. Have you heard of the misquoted and misused and even abused phrase, those born again evangelical Christians try to sway the American politics left and right? Stop misusing that phrase, born again. Born again has nothing to do with the political movement or political party. Okay? If you see someone using it, please gently correct them. Please do not use it. I'll explain to you what it means, born again, but this is what Jesus says in John chapter 3. Unless you're born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Who enters heaven? Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Book of Life. When you and I get into heaven, you will see two sets of books. The first one of just one book, we call the Book of Life, where those people who enter into heaven whose names are recorded there. The second set of books, multiple books, is the Book of Deeds, Books of Deeds. All the actions and all the words we have spoken and said and done will be recorded there. Based upon those books, God will judge each and every one of us. Nothing unclean will enter heaven, it says, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood. You know, if you think of the abomination as a big word, and we don't like the particular word, but if you read the Old Testament, you'll see over and over again. In my simple understanding, what is abomination to the Lord is that whatever you do and say irks God, God says, oh no, please don't. That's abomination. Whoever does that, a falsehood, will not enter into heaven. I'll elaborate on this a little more later on. Now, here's the list of the things we will see in heaven. First of all, we'll see the tree of life that will bear 12 kinds of fruits. producing its fruit each month. I'm not clear on that, whether each month a different fruit, 12 different times each month, or 12, you know, kinds of fruits producing its fruit each month. I'm not clear on that. And it also says that the leaves of the tree of life will heal the nations. Have you noticed that? Some of you know that. All these pharmaceutical companies study and researched on all these plants and trees and roots and leaves to find the cure for our diseases. Yes, indeed. They all rely on the leaves and trees. Oh, the Bible already just telling us where the solutions are. Leaves will heal the nations. In heaven, we'll have the new Jerusalem, as we read this morning, the holy city that is made of precious stones. Its foundations and walls, all made of precious stones. And whose streets are also made of pure gold. You know, there are some great songs in our hymnal too about heaven. We'll walk on the streets made of gold. I used to think that, wow, it's a metaphor, isn't it? Heaven, it will be a beautiful place. However, no, the Bible literally says in Revelation 21, streets made of pure gold. In heaven, we'll have 12 gates, and there will be, the second thing we'll have is this, the river of the water of life that flows from the throne of God through the middle of the street of the city. Imagine you stand looking up to God's throne, and from that throne, water flows, the river of water of life. Good enough. What about things or people we will not see in heaven? First of all, there will be no longer any sea. Sorry if you love ocean or sea. Yeah, that's how I read it, you know. I'll let you know if I found otherwise, but there will be no sea, no light of lamp, no electricity, no sun or moon, because God is the light, and there will be no night in heaven all the time, 24/7 bright. And there will be no temple, no sanctuary, because God will be the temple himself, and there will be no closed gates. Gates are always open. No curse. No tears, no death, no sorrow, no crying, no pain, no more Satan, no more evil, no more devils or evil spirits, and there will be no people, listen, no people of low character. I'm just quoting, low character. The closest one comes to me, as far as I'm concerned, is that whenever I read sad and heartbreaking stories of human trafficking, if you think of the victims, children and women and sometimes men as well, serving as slaves in the 21st century, even in our own America. Whoever sells and buys those people for the sake of profit, it just irks me. And did you know that the Bible calls such people dogs? Yes, check yourself. Philippians 3:2. Low character, there will be no more such people. No cowards. Here he's not talking, the Bible is not talking about someone who is very, you know, just like not with courage. No, that's not what cowards means. Cowards means is that who just gave up on their faith in front of the persecution. The context is the faith. If you deny the Lord in front of the persecution, that's what it means, cowards. There will be no sorcerers. Whoever practice sorcery. You know, sometimes I hear people in the church too, it's so much fun to go to see a psychic, you know, paying $20, $10, and they tell you a fortune. Oh, please don't. I'm serious, that's serious. Oh, palm reading. I grew up in the this community in Korea. No, because you are giving yourself to this practice of sorcery, and guess what? You are risking your chance of getting into heaven. You say, "Oh, just one time for fun." Well, I'm glad that you know that. You need to repent and say, sorry, Lord, I will not do it again. No sorcery, no sorcerers, no fornicators, no sexual immorality, and no murderers, and no idolaters, and no liars. Those people will not be in heaven. Now, what kind of body we will have in heaven, right? We'll have the resurrection body or spiritual body. Something very close and similar to Jesus' resurrected body that would transcend both time and space. If you remember Jesus' resurrection account, one of them in John 20, and the day after he resurrected, the same day he resurrected, evening, the disciples gathered, and along with women disciples, you know, in a room, in a house, they shut the windows as well as the door. They actually locked them up because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities to come after them. And out of nowhere, Jesus just, he showed up in the middle and saying to the disciples, peace. That kind of reason resurrected body we are talking about. In other words, our body, resurrected body, will not be restricted by any physical obstacles. What about eating or drinking? I love to eat, I love to drink. Some of you too. Are we going to eat or drink in heaven? Well, other than a couple of places, which I can tell you, Jesus' statement, first of all, on drinking wine in heaven, again, with his disciples. He said so at the Last Supper. He says, I will not drink anything until I do it again in heaven with you. And the second place in Revelation 19, he talks about, a couple of times here, marriage supper. Other than that, the Bible is silent on this topic, whether we're going to eat or drink. Now, next question is, what are we going to do in heaven? Well, some of us think that, well, when we're in heaven, we're going to rest and sleep after sleep, and we're going to just pick up the harp and play harp forever and ever. Some of us have that notion. Now, this is what I've discovered. According to my research on the Bible, the Bible says that we will serve God. The word is serve God. We will worship and we will praise God for eternity. Now you may say that worship and praise go together, but I'm kind of just curious to know, God says you will serve me in heaven. I'm curious to know what kind of a job he will assign me to. The heavenly worship, I'm going to say a few things here. The heavenly worship is going to be awesome and awe-inspiring, unlike any earthly worship. In heaven, the Bible says, Revelation 5, all nations and tribes will come before the Lord. All nations and tribes, and they will worship God according to their unique cultural styles. You know, when it comes down to worship style, different style of worship, I always thought myself, I'm open-minded. I'm pretty, you know, could handle almost any style of worship. Until this month, during my vacation, our vacation of family, we attended a conference. It was conference/personal vacation. We attended a conference where they had worship services 3 times a day. I still remember one night, it lasted 4 hours. Did you hear? 4 hours. Without any break. And I discovered how narrow-minded I was. 2 hours of worship, 2 hours of, you know, just the message. But 2 hours of worship, it wasn't boring or anything like that. Everyone stood too. You don't sit there when you worship, praise God. But what I saw just most impressed with was the praise team in front of us. Seven or eight members, drum and guitar, and I'm not impressed with the instruments, but I was most impressed with the people leading the worship. Mind you, 95%, only one white person, but the rest of them were black Americans. Oh boy, they were created for worship, let me tell you. Not only they were singing from their hearts to the Lord, but also they dance and they just, in my million years, I don't think I'll be able to even dance like that. What I realized that worship service is that those people have a unique place. I think God will assign them, hey, why don't you lead the worship services tonight or today? Wonderful, wonderful. That's what we're going to do in heaven. Now, when it comes down to heavenly accounts, I have a word of caution for all of us. Some of us have heard and read about heaven accounts through different sources, such as books and tapes and YouTube. If you YouTube and type it heaven, you'll see just hundreds of accounts and personal testimonies and so forth. My advice to you is that to make a habit of testing all those stories and testimonies against the Bible. Even the words that you hear from me. Don't simply blind, oh, that's what Pastor Choi says, that's what I believe. No. I appreciate your, you know, acceptance. But I want you to have a spirit of testing everything that you hear against the Bible, the written word of God. Now listen to this. 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test spirits, the spirits, to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. If their accounts on heaven are in agreement with the Bible, then you can keep them. However, if not, reject them because you don't want to establish your faith and practice on something that is untrue or unconfirmed by God's word. I'm sure most of you know the Paul the Apostle. Did you know that he was caught up into the third heaven, according to his word? He also called it paradise. And he tasted what it's like to be in paradise, and he heard the words that he had no liberty to describe. So he stopped right there. I cannot go describe what the words that I heard, but he says, I was in the paradise. However, this is what he said. The glory in heaven is so great that no human sufferings are worth comparing with that. The glory in heaven. In other words, heaven is the place worth waiting for and worth being in for eternity. Now here's the real question and I'll be through. Whether we will be there or not. As I said, everyone wants to be there. But let me tell you, there is one condition that everyone must satisfy. Jot down, Revelation 22:14. Revelation 22:14. What is the one condition I'm talking about? You need to be washed of your sins with Jesus' blood. You need to be washed of your sins with Jesus' blood. The key words here, washed. Of what? Your sins. With what? With Jesus' blood. It's the same as for your names. When you're washed of your sins with Jesus' blood, then your names will be written in the book of life. And that's what it means to be born from above. Born anew. Born again. Okay? Those are the true meaning of born again. What is the meaning of born again? To be washed of my sins with Jesus' blood. The question for you and me is that do you and do I sincerely believe Jesus as my Savior? That means that my sins are washed away with His own blood. And do I obey Him as my Lord? Now be careful here. Some of us have a notion that believing in Jesus means just intellectual agreement and understanding of who Jesus was and what He has done. Did you know that the evil spirits believe the same thing? They can do it. James 2:19. Rather, faith in Christ includes, listen, both sincere repentance of your sins and living a life worthy of God's name by keeping God's commandments. In Matthew 7, Jesus talking to individuals and the people said, Jesus says, "Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those only who do the will of our heavenly Father will enter." And in those days, he says, people will come to me and say, "Lord, have we not done great miracles? Have we not cast out the evil spirits in your name?" And Jesus says, "I never knew you." The key is that doing God's will. It would be very foolish of us to assume that God will get us into heaven with our words of confession in Jesus alone when we never keep his commandments in our lives. As a matter of fact, those who wish to get into heaven without keeping God's commandments will have a very rude awakening on the last day. As for closing, I will say this. You know, I have a daily practice. If you ask me, "Pastor Troy, what's your number one job responsibility in this church?" It's not preaching. Sorry. The way I see it, my number one priority is to pray for you. Please don't take it as a boast. I have a duty, daily duty, to pray for each and every one of you, whose name is recorded in our directory. I remember your name. And this is what I do after I, you know, from A to Z. There are over 600 names there, over 200 families. And after I pray, at the end, I could close my prayer like this: "Lord, I want everyone of Manahawkin Methodist Church to come to know the truth. Please remember every one of us in salvation. And do not lose any one of us." That's my prayer, folks. Indeed, my prayer is I'd like to be in the presence of God, standing before him with you, and say, "Lord, Manahawkin Methodist Church is just checking in." Let's bow as we pray. We're so busy, wrapped and bombarded with so many daily chores and tasks, to the point where, Lord, we forget about our eternal home. Someone says that always make decisions and take actions with the end in mind. Give us that wisdom, Lord, that whatever we do and say, coming from our final destination. Help us think and set and fix our eyes on the things above that will change our behavior, change our words, and change our actions that are worthy of your name. Yes, Lord. Help us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.